Today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Will you pray with me? Holy God, we want to sing a new song. Here we are. Help us find the words and the time. In Christ's name, amen. So, some of you may have participated in mud races. Have any of you here participated in mud races? Okay, so some of you have. I was a little surprised when my oldest son and his wife participated in mud races, but I was shocked when the cleanest, most meticulous girl in my first youth group showed up with her picture on Facebook covered in mud and this huge smile on her face. I couldn't figure it out, and she had some kind of little subtitle that says, I'm just playing in the mud. Of course, there are those who want to stay right in the middle of mud, and that is their purpose. Those of you who read the comic strips are familiar with Pigpen, a character in Charlie Brown. And Pigpen is perpetually dirty, does not want to clean up. And so there is this one little cartoon where Charlie Brown is talking to Violet in the presence of Pigpen. And he says, just think of it. The dirt and the dust of far-off lands blowing over here and settling onto Pigpen. It staggers the imagination. Why, he may be carrying soil that was trod upon by Solomon or Nebuchadnezzar or Genghis Khan. And about that time, Pigpen says, that's true, isn't it? And in the next frame, you hear him saying with unaccustomed pride, sometimes I feel like royalty. So mucking about in the mud is fun for some, it's purposeful for others, but getting mired in the mud, stuck in the mud, is altogether another thing. And we're kind of like the psalmist. We can, most of us, identify with some point in our lives where we were stuck in the mud, and maybe right now in our lives. Abandoned by a family member, or having suffered loss by death of a loved one, or having been rejected on the job or in school, having been bullied again and again, or having an addiction that you just cannot shake, or trying to make amends in a family incident and finding yourself stuck over and over in that same situation. Or maybe we've been witness to an injustice in another's life, and we see that person or that group stuck, and we seem not to be able to address that. Well, today's psalm is a lot more about than being patient. The English translation that Daniel read says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." The Hebrew translation says, "Waiting, comma, I waited." Waiting, I waited. And so the Spanish Old Testament scholar, Luis Alonso Schockel, has an alternative translation, particularly for the Pilgrim people of America Latina. The verse reads, "Yo esperaba impacientemente al Señor," or "I waited impatiently for the Lord." I waited impatiently for the Lord. So how does one wait impatiently? Well, the bishop gave us an answer or two, and it may have seemed to us like we were impatient as we listened to some of those reasons that he told us, or those ways that he told us, but he was honest with us, and he suggested that we share what we've experienced here within these walls at Grace, beyond these walls, not to the reconciling congregations, but to other congregations in the Metro District and in the North Texas Conference, that we share our stories, who we are, that we witness with our presence or by listening. And Cami told everyone there, you know, that your lay leader for the entire Metro District for 3 years is Eric Markinson. That is a witness in itself to all of our churches in the North Texas Conference, and particularly in our Metro District. It gives us the opportunity to tell our story and the stories of Grace again and again, and then to listen to other stories that are out there. The psalmist says, "I have told the good news of your deliverance," God's deliverance, "in this congregation. I have spoken of your faithfulness and of your salvation." So the scripture suggests that we can tell the good news by singing praises, by trusting God in everything. This psalm is about having the courage to change. But it seems so long around those areas of misogyny and racism and human sexuality. It seems so long that we have been waiting, some patiently, some impatiently. So how do we get out of the mud? In the spring of 1985, U2 had a tour through Hartford, Connecticut. And it was an amazing thing that happened, because back all those long years ago, 31 years ago, the people in the audience said they could feel Bono's passion. They could see Bono's passion. They could see his theology and hear his theology in his music. And they loved it. And they went out into the street at the end of that concert, dancing. And 20 years later, students of theology were reading Bono's theology. and they were studying. And 20 years later, in 2005, he received the Nobel Peace Award. The song they ended that concert with in 1985 was called 40. And it's based on Psalm 40 that Daniel just read. And it was all about, I will sing, and I will sing a new song. And it was so infectious that they were all dancing in the streets, and it remained with them, this theology of singing a new song. And so that's our commission, to be able to testify to the ways that God has enabled us to sing a new song, that we have been able to get out of being stuck in the mud. And there are still those, both within our church and far beyond our walls, who are stuck in a desolate pit. And they need to hear, as the bishop said, that new song. And just like Donnie said at the children's service, and just like you spoke in the call to worship, the only voice that we have to speak those words of the incarnate God is ours, yours and mine. Our hands, our feet, that Janet talked about in her opportunities when she mentioned at the announcements. Those are the only ways the people who are stuck in the mud are going to hear the new song. So on this Sunday in Epiphany, when we consider the ways in which our incarnate God has been revealed to us in Jesus, we need to personally witness to the God who draws us out of that desolate pit, who has the power to draw us out of the mud. We have people who are willing to climb into the pit with us. Reconciling Ministries is going to have, every church in our Reconciling Church is going to have a representative at Union Coffee Shop. You all know Union Coffee Shop? And if you haven't been there, you need to go there, right across from SMU. It's a new church start, a five-year-old new church start. Mike Bachman is the elder there. And it is a coffee shop. And right now, while we're doing this, they're doing that in their coffee shop on a little stage. And they don't know what a Reconciling Church is, but they're wanting to know, and they're very interested in it. So we're going to be able to be a witness there at the end of this month at Union Coffee Shop. Faith in Texas, that you just heard. That's that word, faith. That's what we're talking about, the word that drives it. It's much more than a justice issue for the sake of justice. It's a justice issue as we are motivated by our own faith in the gospel. Some of you are familiar with Shane Claiborne, and he wrote an article entitled, "What If Jesus Really Meant What He Said?" And in it he said, I have a friend in the United Kingdom who talks about dirty theology, that we have a God who's always using dirt to bring life and healing and redemption, a God who shows up in the most unlikely and scandalous ways, a God we can trust. And then he reminds us that at one point in the gospel, Jesus takes some mud, spits in that mud, and wipes it on a blind person's eyes to heal them. And he had a footnote that said, "I bet the people who packaged ointment and the priest were not happy on that day." Because it took the dirt to heal. Well, on this Martin Luther King Jr. holiday weekend, we're reminded of some of the dirt that it has taken to get us as far as we have come. Many of our youth and counselors on that historic bus ride, I know at one time or other, are going to hear the story of a 14-year-old boy, African-American boy, from Chicago, 14, younger than many of our children on that bus ride, whose name was Emmett Till, who went from Chicago to Money, Mississippi in 1955 to visit some cousins and an uncle and a great uncle, and walked into a grocery store and had the audacity to speak to the 21-year-old married proprietor, Carolyn Bryant. And afterwards, as he was outside with his cousin and saw Carolyn walk out, it is said that he whistled at her across the street. And days later, Carolyn's husband and his half-brother, J.W. Milam, burst into that great uncle's two-bedroom home where eight were sleeping and grabbed Emmett from a bed he was sharing with his cousin, pulled him out, took him out to another car and said, "Is this the one?" And people, the witnesses, heard a woman's voice say, "Yes, that's the one." That car drove away, and Emmett was bound and taken in the back of a pickup and beaten savagely and shot again and again and taken down to the river and thrown into the river. And 3 days later, his body, all mangled and bloated and scarred, came up, and he was drawn out of the river in Money, Mississippi, and his uncle and great uncle had already been looking for him, and his mother in Chicago had been alerted, and they had the teller. He's been found, but he's dead, and not only is he dead, he is beaten, and probably at the funeral you don't want to have an open casket. But Mamie said, "At the funeral, I intend to have an open casket. For this reason, to be a witness, not only to the black community, but to the white community, of how perverted American democracy is when it comes to racism." And so indeed, when that body was shipped back and came wrapped in paper, tied up, and was moved off the train there at that station in Illinois, the reporter who covered it for years and years and years, first really renowned woman reporter for a black newspaper that was read by the United States, the reporter said she heard the mother say, "Oh my God, oh my God, my only child." But she insisted, even after looking at him, that this be an open casket. Tens of thousands of people walked by and viewed that mangled body of Emmett Till. And people today, and I'm talking about historians, many of them say, Martin Luther King Jr. is often given credit for starting the civil rights movement, and yes, indeed, he did in many ways, but we believe most definitely that much of it began when so many people saw that 14-year-old boy. Emmett Till, because his mother insisted that being a witness was going to have an impact on all of society, regardless of how painful it was for her. She died in 2002, and until that time, from 55 to 2002, she told her story and allowed people to ask questions and sat through a trial that was declared a mistrial, where the two men were set free and later confessed to having done everything that was said. So, we are tasked with witnessing to God's faithfulness in our lives. I have heard so many of your stories. and there are many I have not heard. And so I ask you today, how can you testify to God's faithfulness in your life? And will you do so? Because that's what it takes to sing a new song, is to testify to how God has been faithful in your life. The great congregation needs to hear your story. So have the courage, no matter how painful, to share your story, to wait impatiently, and to sing a new song. Amen.